from newstalkzb.co.nz, it's the Mike Hosking Breakfast with BNZ.
G'day there, and welcome to the rewrap for Wednesday. All the best bits from the Mike Hosking Breakfast on News Talk ZB in a sillier package. I am Glenn ZB, and this morning, happy anniversary, President Trump, a year since you were voted in. P. Diddy isn't called P. Diddy anymore, or is he? And the Mike Hosking Breakfast DHB crusade continues. But first up, the Paradise Papers. What do we make of all this?
Bono's trendy anti-poverty lobby group One launched a blistering public attack on secretive foreign tax havens that allow very rich people to squirrel away their wealth. The press conference this was in Brussels. It sternly declared that tax havens were preventing massive sums from being spent on all-important fight against extreme poverty, disease and hunger. Costing the third world, they claimed, the staggering sum of $1 trillion a year. Calling for anonymous trusts and companies to be abolished, knowing who really owns, they said, and controls these entities would go a long way to following the money and root out corruption. Wise words, you might think. This is the British press. They're all over this. But for yesterday, it emerged that Bono is actually something of an expert on the shell companies, which are secretly set up in tax havens. Indeed, this globe-trotting voice of conscience happens to have been a director and a major shareholder in One, which was yesterday revealed to be the subject of a formal investigation by tax authorities. The organisation goes by the name of Nude Estates, and according to the so-called Paradise Papers, it was incorporated in Malta roughly 10 years ago in order to help him invest in the Lithuanian property market.
Well, maybe he was just doing that for research purposes, so he would know what he was talking about when he railed against people like that.
Or he might just be a hypocrite.
No, no, say it isn't so. Or was my nana right? And you should never trust people who wear sunglasses all the time. Maybe. I've got reason to believe that that is not the real Melania Trump who's gone on tour with Donald Trump in the Asian countries. She's got very big sunglasses hiding her face like that. Right. I'm not the first to suggest it, of course. Right. Speaking of Mr. Trump, a year since they voted for him. Not most people, but nearly most people.
On the floor itself with the party heavyweights and the glitterati, I saw another extraordinary thing there, you know, a lesson in human nature. Being from another country, who won was of no great significance to me, so it became fairly obvious early on that Clinton was, in fact, not just in trouble. She was going to lose. Do remember Trump ended up with over 300 electoral college votes, needing only 270. Those blue wall states, the Michigans, the Pennsylvanias went. Bellwethers swung the Republicans' way. Comparatively early on, I said, she's lost. Very few in the room could see it. They didn't want to see it. Took about another hour before Cher and Melanie Griffith beat a hasty retreat in tears. Eventually, they all started bawling, and then the hugging and weeping began. It was tragic. You never saw so many people in one room refusing to see reality. And that mood really hasn't changed for them in the last 12 months. They've failed to get over it. And this extraordinary war of words, accusations and backstabbing has ensued as they watch their arch nemesis spend this first year in office. They've had plenty of material, of course. I mean, it's been a mess. Travel crackdowns, walls, healthcare, gone nowhere. He's fighting with his own party. He's his own worst enemy. He might get tax done. He might not. He'll probably get smacked next year in the midterms. But you know what? I would not rule out a second term. Why? Because America is booming. And the Trump base is still the Trump base. Remember, when only half the country votes, you only need half of the half. So getting 25% in good economic times isn't all that impossible. So those who write him off a year in do so not based on fact, but on their own agenda.
Yes, Mike suggesting we could be in for another 7 years of Trump. Really? Or more than that, because he hasn't actually been president for a year. But that doesn't happen until January. I know. Crazy times. Now, speaking of crazy, Sean Coombs. What the hell is actually his name?
Trending now on the Mike Hosking Breakfast.
American rapper Sean Coombs, Puff Daddy, Puffy, P. Diddy, Diddly Doo, Coombs Man, Sean Baby. Anyway, he had this announcement to make.
I have different personalities, you know what I'm saying? Nobody knows who's coming downstairs in the morning. I've had different name changes because, you know, I just grew up in a neighborhood where everybody had nicknames. And so my first nickname was Puffy. And then when I was in the music industry, it went to Diddy. And then P. Diddy. Or was it P. Diddy first? Now I'm just good old Sean.
He's
come back to me.
Since posted another video saying he was joking. News in a couple of moments.
So what's his name?
Diddly-diddly-doo-doo.
I mean, we all have days like that. I certainly, I'm trying to survive on very little sleep from last night, and I am struggling to remember what my name is, where I am, what the point of it all is. Luckily, we have our Mike Hosking Breakfast Crusade against the District Health Board. It's the MHB versus the DHBs, if you will.
Now, here's... So the sadness of this story is there's two more DHBs caught up in this shambles of a system we call a health service. A kidney donation, right? So a woman seeking a kidney donation. She was forced to deal with unnecessary delays that made the process take a year and a half. This is from the Health and Disability Commissioner, Anthony Hill. He found two district health boards at fault during this process. The woman died in 2014. She was waiting for her daughter to be approved as a live donor. The woman became too sick in the ensuing mess to actually go ahead and receive the transplant. Now, I won't work you through all the details, but but you can imagine what it was like. It was back and forward, back and forward, back and forward. A lot of letters, a lot of people not there. After initial tests suggested the daughter could be suitable as a donor, but about that time, Key Waikato Hospital... Oh, Waikato are back in the news. Waikato Hospital staff went on unplanned extended leave, and the remaining staff had to take on the extra work without a handover, leaving them unable to proactively check on the status of all their patients. So you can see how this happens, can't you? By the time the daughter was approved as a live donor in December, her mother was no longer a suitable transplant candidate because of ill health. She died in 2014. So two DHBs at fault there, which once again leads us to ask the question, where is the health minister? Mr. David Clark. David Clark.
I love the way that you all, every time you just almost can't remember his name because he's so absent.
I will be, look, in the spirit of goodwill, I will be more than willing to suggest that maybe I've insulted David Clark by calling him David Parker. And maybe he's listening and going, my name's not Parker, it's Clark.
Surely he would take that as a compliment.
Well, I don't know. So if I've offended Mr. Clark in some way by referring to him as Mr. Parker, because a lot of David's in there. And so everyone's come on this program. Everyone's happy to come on the program from the Prime Minister down to come on and have a chat about life and times and what they're planning to do. And yet one of my major things in life at the moment is this abject failure of a health system that we have in this country, where we've got these 20 fiefdoms around the nation who clearly, and I cite example after example after example, from the Waikato to Christchurch to Kapiti Coast to Otago, example after example of problem after problem after problem. Even the Prime Minister on this program on Monday conceded that the DHB system isn't working well and that there are glaring examples in this country where it is not working well, and they are determined to do something about it. And all we want to do is talk to the Health Minister, Mr. David Clark.
Well done. You got it right. I'm wondering, does he actually exist? I've seen a few sort of sketchy photos of him. It sort of reminds me of the ones you see of Sasquatch.
He's the Sasquatch Health Minister. But we keep getting told he's not available, or it's a bit of an inconvenient time, and I keep reiterating I'm available as of 3 o'clock every morning. And I tell you what, if it goes on too much longer, I'm going to get his direct number, and when I arrive at work at about 3:15, Glenn and I are going to ring him up. We're going to ring him up and wake him up and go, Dave, is now a good time? And then he'll go, well, not really. And we'll go, how about we give you 20 minutes? We'll ring you back at 20 to 4, then at 10 to 4, 5 to 4, 10. And we'll just keep ringing until he finally fronts up on the program, because how hard can it be?
I've seen another image of him emerging from a lake, although it's very shadowy and it's not
You're
convincing
to me. You're not helping my cause. You're not helping my cause to get Mr. David Clark, the health minister, on the program.
You know, I'm starting to wonder if maybe he is actually the cause of those Black Panther rumours in the Mackenzie country. I've got a million of them, folks. I can keep them coming all night. Try the fish. I am Glenn ZB. As I said before, a bit tired. That was the rewrap, though. Don't worry, even when I'm tired, I'll wrap them up for you, and we'll do it again tomorrow, no matter what state I'm in. I'll see you there.